Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. We're going to wrap up our week of talking about anxiety and stress with a review of an article written by a friend of the podcast.
That's right.
Alla Abdin, who we have had on the show before. She wrote an article on Psych Reg, our blog, called Why You Should Master Your Fear Through Self-Discipline.
Right.
I really like some of the things that she broke down in here.
Mm-hmm.
So we've talked all week long about stress and anxiety and where it comes from, those four stages, sort of some maladaptive ways that we manage it, sort of working on ways that we could better manage it, whether it's through finding real ways to be happy or how to manage other people when they're bringing some of their stress to us.
Right.
And today we're going to talk about managing stress and fear for ourselves.
That's right. Right. Because we know that stress, fear, anxiety, they're all related.
They're all related, right.
And so Alla talks about fear. She focuses on fear as the source of her anxiety.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And so, Alla, we enjoyed this article. If you're listening, or if you hear this, thank you for posting this.
Yeah.
It's a real nice organizational structure, easy for people to use, easy for people to remember.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? So what she talks about in this, and I think is very true for a lot of people, is that, you know, like you said, stress and fear come from this idea of whether it's inadequacy, you don't feel like you're capable, you don't feel like you're able to do things, fear of the unknown, fear of the anticipated.
Fear of what ifs.
The what ifs,
we have all that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when we experience those things, when we have those, when we have that fear and that stress coming up, you know, we really need to step back and look at what's causing it, and then we can address it. And as she said, sort of through the use of self-discipline and self-control, we can manage some of those fears and anxieties.
Right. Earlier in the week, we talked about overcoming and taking charge, which eventually we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we see in this article that you can either give in,
right,
or you can fight against it. And many people say, well, I'm just an anxious person.
Yeah.
Okay. You may have a genetic tendency, many people do, to be more easily aroused, to not be able to inhibit strong feelings.
Right.
We acknowledge all that.
Right.
But there is a source and triggers.
Right.
There are sources of anxiety and there are triggers for your anxiety. And that's what you have to be doing. And what Alla is talking about in this article is the source, and she acknowledges that she lived a very anxious life.
Right.
And she said, it was because of fear. It was because I was afraid.
Right.
And so the first obligation you have is not to say, well, I'm just a highly anxious person. You might be.
Right.
But why are you highly anxious?
What are you going to do about it?
That's right. Because what is wonderful about this article is that she said, I was anxious because of fear.
Right.
Then I could deal with my fear.
Right.
And that's the necessary step.
Right. And she uses fear as an acronym.
Right,
F-E-A-R.
Which I like. Right, think of fear, F-E-A-R. Each of those letters is going to tell you something. It's informative.
Right, so the F stands for false. And this is a great line. No threat is real until your mind makes it so.
You know, it reminds me of that line that Eleanor Roosevelt said. You know, nobody can make you feel diminished without your permission.
Right,
you know,
right.
That's the same thing here.
Right, yeah, so whether it's anger, whether it's you know, self-esteem or it's stress, nothing is real until you make it real.
That's right.
Until you accept it as real. And so, you know, your first step for dealing with your own stress and fear is to recognize that those thoughts typically are not real.
That's right.
And even if you can make the argument that they are real, because some people will do that sometimes, they will sort of
create a scenario where it is real. Mm-hmm. Well, we have other things that we're going to use to deal with that, but we have to rationalize it a little bit better than just saying, well, it's real, there's nothing I can do about it.
Well,
let's move on.
We see this with phobias
right.
all the time. You mm-hmm. know, the people say, well, that snake is going to come after me. Nah, probably not.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're asleep and it's a python, it probably isn't going to chase you.
Yeah. Right?
Or frogs or any kind of animal like that. They're not going to attack you.
Right.
You're much larger than they are, and they mm-hmm. aren't going to, unless they're cornered. Okay. So you don't have to be afraid.
Right.
Unless you make that fear real.
Right.
If you make it real,
right.
then yes, you're going to be afraid that snakes are chasing you into the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That you made it real. That's not really real.
Right, right. Now, the E stands for evidence. Mm-hmm. And so what she's talking about here is looking for clues or evidence that give you a concrete conclusion of that situation.
Right.
You know, is there concrete evidence that snakes are going to chase you into the house?
Has a snake ever chased you?
Right.
No.
And so one of the ways that, like, I work on this with patients is, mm-hmm. you know, they're anxious about or stressed about work or anxious about right. work or a relationship. Or when I do some of my work with athletes, you know, they yeah. get so stressed and frustrated with each other. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things we talk about is, all right, so who on this team wants to lose?
Right.
And of course, nobody raises their hand and say, okay, so we have no evidence to suggest that anybody messes up on purpose.
Right.
That anybody allows a goal to happen on purpose or that they make a bad pass on purpose. Mm-hmm. And so if there's no evidence to support the right. source of your fear or the root of your fear, then we really need to move into the direction of, okay, maybe this fear or anxiety or stress is right. unwarranted.
And we talk about irrational beliefs,
right.
irrational fears. Fear of flying, for example. Mm-hmm. Do the math. Mm-hmm. Calculate how many people fly every day and then how many people get killed in plane crashes. It's so infinitesimally small
right.
that you really shouldn't worry about it. You can yeah. worry about it. You can make that fear real.
Right.
Okay. Or you can choose not to make it real.
Right.
But the reality, the evidence is that it's a very safe way to travel.
Yeah.
It might not be a comfortable way to travel mm-hmm. anymore, but it's a safe way to travel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you want to worry about something, don't go in the ocean.
That's right. Stay out of a car.
Yeah. So now the A.
Speaking of which,
in fear. Huh?
Did you see that thing about the paddleboarders in California?
No.
The helicopter was above them saying, hey, you people should get out of the water. You have 15 great white sharks swimming around your paddle boards. So we'd like for you to gradually make your way onto the beach. This was in California this last week.
Mm-hmm. Glad I don't live in California.
Wow, that was scary. That's evidence, though. There's some evidence. There's some evidence.
That's concrete evidence there.
Right. Right. But you're right. Stay out of the ocean because the ocean doesn't belong to us.
Right.
It belongs to the sharks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're just like planting a little bit of fear there for you.
You all saw Jaws.
Because that was real. Woo, that's concrete evidence.
Right.
All right, A.
F-E-A.
A is mm-hmm. appearing.
Right.
And your mind can influence how things appear to you. And I think that that's a really interesting perspective because your mind can make things look different than they really are.
What are these tiny little frogs that we have in Florida? Green frogs or something. They're about the size of a thumbnail. Do you know what I'm talking? You're a native.
They're just baby frogs.
No, there's a species, but it's very tiny.
I don't know what
you're
talking
native.
About.
You're a native Floridian. You should know this stuff. You know what
frogs?
A Cuban tree frog was.
Oh, those things are scary.
No, don't say that. My daughters might be listening.
They go, oh.
Yeah, but they sound like dinosaurs.
Uh-huh.
No, but there's this little frog. Mm. And my daughters will not enter a room if they see, it's about the size of a penny, about the size of a penny, okay? You can barely see them. They look like an insect, but it's a frog. They will not enter a room if they see one of those frogs in that room. Now, that's an appearance. That's an irrational fear.
I have so many questions about that we won't go into. We'll talk about away from the microphone.
I mean, they're so afraid of frogs.
Yeah.
That even that little tiny frog causes apoplexy in my daughters.
That's interesting. But it's, you know, it creates, it does create a perception of things in their mind that's very different than the reality.
That's right. This frog isn't big enough to hurt them.
Right.
Even if it was poisonous, it's too small. I mean, I get it. Never mind.
Yeah.
But it's the appearance.
Oh, I was going to make a joke that would terrify them, but I won't do that. But you're right. We see things, and we, you know, I knew someone who was afraid of snakes, and that fear of snakes generalized to lizards because lizards are just snakes with legs. And
true.
So it's, you know, it's putting...
In fact, snakes used to be lizards.
Yeah?
Yeah, they saw little legs in the back. Mm-hmm. There's vestiges of hind legs in snakes. You can feel them.
Mm-hmm. What are you touching snakes for? That's what they would say.
Oh, that's true.
So, I don't want to get close enough to see. That's what they would say to make sure that it's a lizard and not a snake. But it's that perception of it looks like this, or at least to them, that's what it looks like. And so they see things bigger as more dangerous.
Right. And more dangerous.
And so that trick that our mind plays on us that's fueled by the fear is problematic. So now the R is real. Okay, and so your mind can manufacture thoughts that feel very real.
That's really
what the root is that whatever this misperception is, whatever this fear is, our brain will work hard to make it real.
Right.
Very real. I mean, people who are afraid to fly are certain that a crash is inevitable.
Right.
They you know, firmly believe that, and so their brain makes it very real for them. And so
even though the facts are that it's very safe.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so we really need to work to sort of let go of some of that stuff. Look, there's so much in life that we are just never going to have control over.
Right.
And so we have to be okay with letting go of some of that control. Right. We have to be okay with recognizing that we sometimes see things differently than they really are.
Right.
And we have to be able to step back, sit back, and say, you know, okay, what is the reality? Is that little frog really going to do something? Mm-hmm. It may feel creepy. We may have no desire to touch it or to catch it, to get it out of the house or anything like that. But we have to be able to sit back and recognize that the fear isn't real, that we're manufacturing it, that we're perpetuating it. And the perpetuation, I think, is a real big issue, because we tend to, you know, when we work so hard to alleviate fear through avoidance and that kind of thing, then all we do is reinforce the fact that those things are fearful, that we should be fearful of those things.
If you stand in another room screaming, you know, you're just reinforcing your false belief.
Right. And so we really need to work to overcome that. Give up the idea of control. Give up the idea that we're going to be able to manage everything in our world.
Right.
And accept some things are outside of our control.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, that...
But then...
Oh.
She tells us, how do you handle fear?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's what we were just talking about.
Right.
What? Look, see this guy? He is not even part of the conversation. You got to let go of your desire to control things.
He did the first one.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
What?
Second one is be spontaneous.
Okay. You know...
He makes me anxious.
We need to have a conversation.
And I'm afraid that I'm going to hit him. I have fear running through
my mind. Now, that would probably increase our YouTube watches.
If I hit you.
Yeah.
Right. Just don't touch me. So, yes. Okay. You don't have you don't have control over... Say, and you said that, right?
Yeah.
Number two, you have to be spontaneous.
Uh-huh.
The people I work with who are really highly anxious will not be spontaneous. They refuse to be spontaneous.
Yeah.
When I first start seeing them, they will not take a chance.
Right.
Okay. They're so afraid of what might happen, and it's the what ifs, and it's the fear of the unknown. They will not just do something.
Right.
It takes a while to get them there.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the third one is,
well, it's what we talked about yesterday, which is, you know, you got to surround yourself with people and support and people that can be there to help you.
That's right. You have to, And I'm going to have to look into this, because when people first move to a new city and you don't have the supports, you tend to be a little more anxious. But you have to surround yourself with people who are cheerful, who are compassionate, mm-hmm. who are helpful, who will be your support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we talked before about pushing your limits, you know.
That's right.
Exploring more of the world and more of yourself.
That's right. I'm going to say this again. We said it earlier in the week that when you're least able, mm-hmm. If you're depressed or anxious and you're least able to do something, mm-hmm. and we all have patients who come in and say, I just can't. I just can't get out of bed. I just can't go to the store. I have too much agoraphobia and I cannot. Right. It's exactly at that moment that you must.
You got
to
do it.
You have to get up. You have to go out and you do it. Because in doing it, it's like, I think it's in this article where she says, are you smiling because you're happy, or are you happy because you're smiling?
Right.
Okay. And it could work either way, mm-hmm. because smiling makes you happy.
Right.
Okay. And you have to do the same thing. Getting up and going gets you going.
Right.
Okay. And you have to be willing to do that.
Right.
And then finally,
the last thing is living in the moment. You gotta live for now. And we've talked about that a lot of times, especially with our mindfulness stuff,
right.
With our metacognitive approaches. But we have to live for now. We can't live with that anticipation. We can't live with that retrospection. We have to live for right now.
What are
we dealing with? And that doesn't... And this was something that a patient asked me about the other day, which I thought was a question that I had not thought about, or sort of a perspective of this that I had not thought about. And they were saying, well, if you just live for right now, you know, you're not planning for, you're not preparing for tomorrow, and so mm-hmm. tomorrow is going to be, you're going to be unprepared for tomorrow. Right. Well, that's not what we're really talking about. When we're talking about living for now, what we're talking about is dealing with right now. Mm-hmm. And so right now, you may need to prepare for tomorrow. Right now, you may have to build that PowerPoint that you need for a presentation you're doing tomorrow. But what we're not doing is but that is a problem that has a solution. We're not thinking about what ifs with tomorrow. We're talking about concrete things that we can accomplish, specific activities, specific things that we need to do for tomorrow. Yes, we're going to accomplish those today, but we're not, with the idea of living in the moment, we're just not, we're not focusing on the emotion and the what ifs and the hypotheticals of tomorrow. That's a big difference.
You made a comment this morning. We were talking about anxiety in patients, and you made a comment this morning. And it was that when you talk about being in the moment, a person will come to our office, mm-hmm. drive here, mm-hmm. will sit down, mm-hmm. have a perfectly reasonable discussion, mm-hmm. And all they're doing is talking about all their worries, mm-hmm. but all those worries are in the future.
Right.
All those worries are what ifs. They're completely capable of handling coming here, mm-hmm. and having a conversation. That's what I mean by in the moment.
Right.
You can do this.
Right.
Now, we can sit here and talk about all your fears about mm-hmm. tomorrow.
Right.
Or later. Or right. what if. But you're completely capable at this time right. of doing this.
Yeah. So that's a perfect example, because here's how we manage this. Here's how we handle this. So you talk about all of these worries and what ifs in the future. Living in the now says, what asks you to figure out, what can I do about that right now? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I had this huge presentation to do tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we could worry about it.
Right.
We could sort of hyper-focus on it, all that kind of stuff. Or we can say, what can I do about that right now? The answer may be nothing. There may be nothing that you can do right now about it. You're sitting in my office. You don't have your computer. You don't have any way to put together a presentation. There's nothing you can do about it right now. What can you do about it when you get home?
Right.
You can dedicate an hour to it. You can start doing some of your research right. or start putting some things together. Hopefully you've already done that if you have to do a presentation tomorrow, mm-hmm. but it's okay. But that's what we mean by living in the moment. We're not worried and dealing with the stress right. of tomorrow. we're figuring out right now how to live the life that we need to live.
Right.
And I think that there's a big difference between those two things.
Right.
Living the moment means living now, not worrying about how you're going to live later.
Right. And there's one other comment that I think is worth making as we sort of summarize this week about stress. And that is that if you are an anxious person, mm-hmm. that's who you are, and that's okay.
Right. All right. Absolutely.
You may not benefit at all from fighting who you are.
Right.
Okay. If you happen to be anxious, accept the fact that you're anxious.
Right.
Okay. And move on.
Right.
Okay. Don't fight and try to change that you're anxious.
Right.
You're not going to change that you're anxious.
Right.
But you can change what to do because you happen to be anxious.
Right.
So stop fighting being anxious. You're using your energy, and it's not going to get you anything.
Right.
Use your energy to change your behaviors.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That last stage that we talked about on Monday.
Right. The last stage. Change your behavior.
Yeah. So, all right. That is it for today.
Been a good week.
Two quick announcements. Remember our Lumi body clock contest that we have going on right now. Mm-hmm. Click on the show notes, follow the link, and just do a few things that you, few of the terms and conditions that you have to do. For those of you in the UK, you can then enter in to win a Lumi body clock. Very cool. Very, very cool.
I wish they had one.
I do.
I told you the other day. I woke up with light one morning. What a difference.
Yeah, it makes a big difference when you're waking up the way that your body is intended to
wake
up. I'm
going to have to get one of those.
Yeah. The second announcement is we have our next live YouTube event coming up next week.
Wednesday.
It will be May 31st. Mm-hmm. We will be doing a live YouTube event focusing on tape five of 13 Reasons Why, which are episodes 9 and 10. And in that episode, we're going to really kind of continue to dive into this series and look for some of those themes and perspectives and things that you should consider as you watch, or maybe even as your teenager watches this program, and just things to think about. So.
Right. Especially if your preteen wants to watch it.
Yes, absolutely.
So lots of, we'd like to have your perspective, your opinions. Yeah. Yeah. And your thoughts on that program.
Yeah, so subscribe to our YouTube channel. That will help keep you updated with all of the live events that we do and all the things that we have planned. But also, you know, follow us on Facebook and Twitter and all those fun places because we will have everything posted there as well. So, all right, well, that is it. Have a terrific day. Stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.